Well, this morning we're going to head a little bit different direction. We'll pick up next week over on what we've been teaching, the gospel and the will of man. But this week, going along as the Lord started to deal with me, and especially in yesterday and today, it all started with, I think it was Wednesday night. I went to bed and went to sleep and woke about 2:30 in the morning, and just, you know, you ever do that, wake up just wide awake. I mean, I'm just like, you know, and I sort of felt like I slept for 10 hours or something, and you just get up and you just wake up. And so I thought, well, if I'm awake, I'm going to use it for a good time. And I just got over praying. You know, sometimes, you know, we just pray about things, but it's always, you know, sometimes God puts things on you when you go to pray. It's one of the things while I was praying, this just compassion of God came on me for people. This thing came over me to pray and started praying for people. The Lord reminded me of something about it, because this probably about a year and a half ago, one of Randall Greer's meetings I was at, and Randall said the Lord had spoken to him about and said, there's a canopy of evil over America. And when he said that, because I had been dealing with before, and I was thinking, because I'd been talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, I ain't ever seen days like this before. I said, man, I just, stuff that's happening and going on. And I said, people are just doing crazy. I mean, stuff that just don't even make no sense. It's like, you know, they're putting the gun to their own heads. They're doing things that are going to destroy their own lives. And I mean, from a political standpoint, you see it doing. I mean, it's just like, what do these people think they're going to get out of this? You know, you're doing. I said, Lord, I ain't never seen nothing. I said, there's more. Seem to be more demonic activity I've ever seen. So I was just listening to a thing that he did in Jude, some teaching he had, and he had said in there again about the fact that the Lord had spoken to him again, had just at that time about this canopy of evil. But one of the things we're dealing with this is, and he iterated a little bit, but when I was praying, I started to realize is what people are doing about it. It's really as generally as going the whole wrong way about it. We're responding to a spiritual problem physically, with physical things. We're trying to combat. We're trying to, you know, it's like here in the United States. I mean, the news media, I don't care if it's conservative or what, they're way off base. They are not hitting the target of what's wrong in our nation. It isn't political parties. It isn't, that isn't what it is. It's not what's going on. So, you know, it just, we're dealing with an issue that people are generally trying to deal with this. We're trying to deal with people with demonic problems, and we're trying to deal them through natural things, and, you know, we're just going to show them the right thing and they'll just do it. And no, they ain't. So get over it. You know, you're going to have to understand what we're dealing with here, and what it will change things is, number one, we can't operate in the natural and then have something spiritual happen. We need another thing. If we would start, as we as the church, and this is what God, this message, nothing about criticism anybody, it's to get us back in focus again. You know, the Lord was reminding me, because, you know, normally we have our communion at the end of each month, the last Sunday of the month. And since we were having this, going to have this get-together with the other church, I thought about canceling it, but it just kept coming up in me and coming up in me to, no, have communion. Well, okay, we'll do it. We'll, you know, have it. You know, I'm not religious on it that you got to have it certain time. You know, that if you don't, God will get you. But, you know, some people think like that. But then on the other hand, one of the things the Lord reminded me about, because of what Paul wrote concerning communion. And this is one of the things that kept coming to me over and over, especially last night. I woke up again last night, and in the night I woke up and I was awake for about an hour. And just the Spirit of God was churning things over in my spirit. And one of the things he kept doing, because the Apostle Paul talked about communion in the 1 Corinthians 11, and in the verses he used there, 24 and 25, both of them end with, do this in remembrance of me. And he kept saying this over last night on me. Do this in remembrance of me. In other words, he's emphasizing the fact people aren't remembering him. The church is not remembering him. The church has problems. They want God to do things, but they're not focusing on him. They're just focusing on their need or what they want changed or what they want done. It's do this in remembrance of him. Years ago, I was talking to a guy who was involved in a ministry, and he had asked us, he said, I don't know how it started, but he asked me something about communion. And I said, you know, we have usually communion once a month. He said, once a month? He said, "No, we do it like once a year." He said, "You make it, you get over it. Doesn't mean anything after a while." And I thought, remembering Jesus gets old. I thought, whoa. See, don't even bother doing it. It's not going to do anything for you. It's not a religious thing. And we need to understand this because, you know, there's times in my life that I take communion at home. I'll take communion myself to keep myself on focus, get myself over, remembering Him. You know, it's keeping yourself over there. Like Michael said, you know, he's cultivating thanksgiving. You got to keep a memory over on a thing. You got to do that. He was talking about cultivating, and I was thinking, I thought about that. When he said cultivated, I thought the same thing as him, because when I was a kid, they didn't spray, they cultivated. And you ran the cultivators through the field, and you went out through, and you got rid of the weeds that way. You went and ran a cultivator through the field and to keep the weeds out. But there's a lot of weeds have gotten in the church world today. We have emphasis on a lot of things, but sometimes not much about Jesus and keeping our focus over there. Because there's one thing, when you keep your focus on Jesus, especially, it's going to influence you in a lifestyle and a way of living. We may want God to do things, but there are certain things, if we want God to move, we're going to have to participate in His kingdom and participate in what He wants done. One of the things that's taking communion today is a major fact that He wants us in remembrance of Him. Our fellowship and communion with Him is so important to Him. It's important to His kingdom. He desires to bless us. That's what He wants to do. He wants to do stuff for us. He wants to move in this nation. You aren't praying or asking God to do anything that He didn't want to do. If you are, you're crazy. But if we're praying for things we want, that we see in the Word that God wants to do, He wants to do it more than you do. I remember when I was first a young Christian and the Lord said, "I want to heal people more than they want to be healed." He said, "I want them to be well." See, He's on our side with this thing. I watched it over the years because of learning those things when I was a young Christian, that people are acting in faith like they're trying to get God to do something. You're not trying to get Him to heal you. You're not, get that out of your mind. You know, but in a way it's taught like that. You know, that, well, you got, no, He's the guy that started the healing business. He's the guy that did it. So we're not trying to get Him. What we're doing is focus. And see, is the over, you know, I would hate to think, you know, my children growing up, they thought they had to work hard to get Dad to want to do something for them. They had to do some special thing, or they had to. And see, people do that with God, like they're trying to get Him to bless as if He's not in the blessing business. I'm sorry. He's not in the curse business. He's not in that business. No, the devil got that sewed up. We don't need another group on that one, you know? The devil got that side all taken care of. But God's on the blessing side. Amen. And keeping that on there, and it comes to fellowship. It comes to remembering Him. Mm-hmm. What He's done for us. See, when we get into trouble, we got to get our focus on the Lord and off of what the problem is. He's the answer to the problem. When we just look at Him and, well, this problem is big, this problem is great. Well, is comparison to Him, is it? See, your faith's going to operate from how you think. Your faith is going to operate from the perspective of how you view. If you view your problem as this big, well, how big do you view God? If your focus is over on that thing all the time, then God is not very big. And you're asking somebody that you aren't viewing as very big to deal with something you think is big. You understand that? See, you got to keep it over on the side where God is big. That's why, you know, the Bible talks about using magnifying the Lord. Why we make Him big. That's a magnifying. You take something and make it big. You know, you take a magnifying glass, something you can't see, and you make it big so you can see it. Many times, Christian, you need to understand, we're the guys with the magnifying glass, not God. Lots of times we look over here at our problem. We've done magnified. We've made that big and told everybody how big it is. We've done run around and got 47 other people to pray for me because my problem's so big. And we're doing that, but we're magnifying the problem. We're not saying, hey, praise God's on my side. Glory to God. He's big. See this problem over here? Look at how big He is. And this is what you want to do. Communion is remembering Him. See, communion is a reminder to us, really, of two things. You know, He gave His body for your body. That's what He did. And He gave His blood. He redeemed you. Do you know, He bought you. He owns you. I'm owned by God. I was so valuable that God bought me. God went into the store of humanity and bought Ed. Dear Lord. I wouldn't have bought me. I'd have picked another. But just think about it. God bought me. Through His blood, He bought me. He allowed me to call on His name, revolutionized, made me as righteous as He is.
Amen.
Phenomenal thing. God didn't come along and save you and say, I made you into something sort of good. He made you as righteous. He gave you His very own righteousness. And with the righteousness of God, you can walk right into God's presence. You're as righteous as God is in His presence. I'm as righteous as God. You're as righteous as God. Now, people say, yeah, well, that's by faith. Well, get over it. He shouldn't have gave it to me if He didn't want me to use it. I'm as righteous as God. You're as righteous as God. And every bit of it, He wants you. Because come to the throne of grace and to receive mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. Why? You're righteous. You know, you mess up in sin. You might have an unrighteous act. But if you ain't righteous, you can't come to the throne. Nobody who's righteous ever gets to the throne. You and I and our nonsense are invited to the throne. Woo-wee! Woo-wee! We're invited to the throne. We need to get a picture. We need to get a picture of the greatness of our God. I mean, He's so phenomenal. He is so incredible. I was talking to Him this week about the fact that you gave me your righteousness. I mean, that's a phenomenal thing. You know? You didn't get somebody as real rich and walked up and hands you an unlimited credit card. Now, you'd think that's a phenomenal thing, wouldn't you? You'd say, well, I could just go doing anything. Well, you can't do anything. But God's righteousness, all things are possible to me who believes.
Amen.
Anything. You can't get that on that credit card. You can't get all things are possible. But you can get it with righteousness. That righteousness allows you to believe and trust God for anything that He said He'd do. Whew. My God. It's good to remember Him. See, we want to keep ourselves over. We're going to do that today, remember, because we're dealing, the things that we're dealing with in this nation. You know, James wrote in James 4 and verses 7 and 8, one of the things that he said there, he made this statement though, he says, to draw near to God. Draw near to God, because He'll draw near to you. We draw near to God. See, God's desire is to draw near to us. Sometimes I find out God is never standoff. We are. See, I find this, even when we miss the mark, we sin. You know, the first thing people do, draw away. First thing they do. First thing we should do is draw near. We don't, we draw away. God sent Jesus to draw us in, not to push us back away. Don't allow, because you mess up, don't allow what you messed up with break your fellowship with God. Because you're going to break it. He ain't. You're going to break it because you're going to pull away. Sin always calls man to pull away. Man always pulls away because of sin. He doesn't have to. That's why you might have an unrighteous knack, but that don't make you unrighteous. You're still born again. Hallelujah. You know, you need to clear up that unrighteousness because it'll bother your conscience. And you won't have a conscience before God for your faith to work. God wants your faith to work. That's what that's all about. Hallelujah. We as believers, we want to draw nearer to God. He'll draw nearer to us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just want to read to us here. Because we're in a fight. We're going to do something. Because one of the things the Lord does, we want to pray for people today. Because, you know, God wants to turn things around for people. And we have to know, what about this battle we're in? What is going on out here in our land? What's happening? Well, it's number one, we're dealing with evil. We're in the last days. Satan is doing everything he can to rise up to bring things to a halt. He wants to stop the kingdom of God. We're running this end thing. We need to understand when the church leaves, it ain't going to be for people in the earth like it was during the church age. The Bible tells us clear, Satan's going to dominate. He's going to rule over that time. People who, you know, very much is going to be like the law. That's where what's going to be. And people, it ain't going to be salvation as grace as we know it here. You know, people are going to give their life for their faith. Mm-hmm. And people who don't or are unwilling to do that ain't going to turn out well for them. It's not going to be an easy time. We're really over in the blessed time. We're in a blessed time and a blessed age. The church age is a phenomenal age. There's never been a time on the period of the earth like the church has. Jesus Christ rose from the dead. My God, what He started. Hallelujah. And we need to see ourselves in the light of that. See ourselves, you know, we're participants in His kingdom. We're not trying to get God to like us and trying to get, well, we're participants. And I just want to read you, like, from Ephesians. I want to look at this in Ephesians, in the sixth chapter, because what are we dealing with people? We want to deal with communion, but we're going to pray for people then too. I'm not sure exactly how all of it's going to go. There's just scriptures I've been meditating and looking at. But God is interested in helping us. It's one of the things He wants to do. If we step in on track, He'll anoint it. He'll anoint it. It's one of the things is getting on track. Is stepping into where we're supposed to be. You know, one thing as I learned about God over my years from a young Christian on up, when I started to line up with what the Word said, God would be right there to start to move it. Many times we're trying to get God to move and then we'll get in line. It's not the way it works. We start moving to get in line and then He'll move you into the place where you need to be. But you go ahead and do it. See, we draw near to God. You know, you ask and you receive. We're the one, we step into it. We step over. Now you may not get in, you might think, my God, you know, this thing don't, what am I going to do stepping over here, man? I'm already stumbling around and tripping around. But getting in line, because sometimes, man, you start to move in line with the Word, it don't seem like anything's working. Sometimes it looks like it gets worse when you go. But the anointing of God, and I've learned over time, is when you move over into things, God will start to anoint. Many people want an anointing, and they're not doing nothing. They're not moving into line. You don't need an anointing to not do anything. You don't need an anointing for that. You need an anointing when you start moving into the will of God, start stepping towards, say, God, I'm going to follow You. This is what I'm going to do. You know, Your Word says this. This is the way it is. Man, I'm going to step out here to do it. And, man, it looks like it's just going to get worse when I start doing this. I just see it now. I see that truck coming down the road. I see it. And I ain't going to be able to get off in time. It don't look like it. But, you know, You said to get out there. I'm going to step out. I'm going to walk out into this. This is where I'm at. And see, we got to go out into that place sometimes. It's not a place of comfort. But one of the things that I found this out, I wasn't in a place of comfort to begin with. We have this tendency, even when we're in trouble, we become comforted in our trouble because we look out over, well, if I try to step out and follow God, it might get worse. So we'll stay in bad because we're afraid of worse. And we'll live a whole lifetime in bad. I've watched Christians that I have known over the years, 30, 40 years, and they have lived in bad because they're afraid to get over because they think if things will get worse if I step over into something. And they just live bad. Don't be afraid of that. You know, don't let the devil take you. He'll scare you. He'll scare people. It's sort of like, you know, what they call the battered wife syndrome. You know? Because they're afraid if he leaves, how am I going to take care of myself and what? So they'll put up with bad. They'll put up with something lousy. Afraid of what they might have to, what might come next. And that's where the devil tries to keep us at. Because we're in a bad situation. But you go over here following the Word, you know, I don't know if I want to do that because it looks like I get over there. This don't make no sense at all. This doesn't make any sense. Now, in Ephesians, the sixth chapter, verse 10 says this, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Now, I want you to see what that opening statement. Be strong. It tells you to be strong. It says be strong. In other words, telling us something to do. Be strong. Oh, boy. Did you ever read that? And boy, that's the last thing you felt. Be strong. Okay, that's easy for you to say. That's easy for you. But it wasn't easy for Paul. Paul, when he tells all the stuff he went through, read over in the book everything Paul went through, he says, be strong. Be strong. So you got to set yourself. Start to set yourself. You're in dilemmas. You're in problems. You're troubles. Now, number one, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to set myself to be strong. This is dealing with the areas, you know, we could talk around and teach on will on this thing. This is about will. This is about your will. You set your will to something, you're going to set it. Many people set their will to failure, weakness, and all kinds of stuff. They set their will to it. People are trying to get them to change. You can't change their will, they'll never change. You know, decide, I'm going to be strong. You know, I'm thankful one thing, you know, is being raised in a family of my parents, you know, they wouldn't let you be weak. You're going to stand up and do it. This is what you're going to do. See, I was like my parents, you know, they put us into situations. I learned over the years, you know, just like my youngest daughter. I never get she wanted to play clarinet. She said she wanted to learn to play clarinet. So we got her a clarinet, and, you know, she didn't become really good at it in, you know, a couple of weeks, and so she wanted to quit it. And I said, no, you're not. I said, we bought that thing for you, and you're gonna keep at it till you play it. See, I watch people do that. Well, they don't like to do it anymore. I'm sorry. You ain't quitting. You said you want to do something. You're keeping your word. See, we taught our kids this. Great thing. You know what they did? They grew up learning to do stuff. They learn up just how to, they know how to stick it when it ain't easy. They know how to stick with it. Because that's the way my parents were. You just didn't go start something and walk away from it. Thank God. See, we raised weak-willed kids today. We're raising weak-willed kids and then complaining about it, why they're so weak-willed. In my house, I'm king, mama's queen, and everybody else is a serf. Everybody else. You come visit me, you're a serf. You ain't a king in my house. You might be a king in God's kingdom, but in my house, Mom and Ed rule. We rule and reign. You can rule and reign in your house. See, when I come there, you know what I am? I'm a servant in the house. I go to somebody else's house, that's their house. Mm-hmm. It ain't my house and my say, it's theirs. What they say goes. They're allowed to, it's their house. See, and we taught our kids that. It's my house. It ain't yours. One day you get your own house. And, you know, I want to, you know, I'm getting old enough to have my say. I say, yep, you're old enough to leave now. You're old enough. Don't let that door hit you on the way out. No, here, Mom and Dad are still ruling and reigning. You see, my parents taught me things about how to rule and reign, or what you do. See, I never expected somebody else that I could just go into their stuff and do things. But see, kids today, dude, because they're taught at home. You know, you rule and reign in the house. People say, well, you know, the kids, you know, whatever the kids want to do. No, I'm sorry, in our house it didn't work that way. Amen. Kids learn submission. My parents taught us submission. Amen. See, when I went to the military, I didn't have any trouble at all because I had learned submission. I knew how to submit to the sergeants and all the people. I learned how to submit to them. I thought that was the norm till I got in and around on all them other people, and that wasn't the norm with most people. And they always had trouble, but I didn't have any trouble. We were just taught that way, you know. It wasn't I was just some genius. See, the Bible says train up a child in the way it should go. It said don't say teach a child. Train them. You know, you get the whip and chair out. That's what you do. You get the whip and chair out. You don't turn around. Well, I talk to them about that. No, we ain't talking. I got the whip and chair. We're training now. See, my parents, they trained us. You know, we didn't say no to Mom and Dad. Go do that. No. You know, I tell you what, don't tell them what might happen. It's like this. My dad very seldom ever hit us. But the times that he did, you remembered for years. It was forever remembered. My dad was never to have, he said, don't do that. He never said, don't do that again. Nope, you already heard it. There was no point to saying it again. You already knew. And so we knew this. If dad said, don't do that, it's like, man, that's the gospel here. This is the gospel here. This will save your life. See, if you don't want to wake up on the moon, my parents didn't beat us, but I want to tell you what. If they had to punish, they punished. You knew. You knew what you don't do. See, we don't do that today. That's the disobedience. See, you don't have a family of 9 kids and you can have all these little talks running around, everybody doing their own thing. And then parents all worn out. You know, oh, it's just so hard raising. I never heard my mom talk about hard raising kids. They knew how to slap you into shape. <They know. laughs> My mama was about yo tall and could knock your head off. She had a grip on her like a vice. She got a hold of you. I'll tell you what, and so I got older. She was in her 80s. She could still grab a hold of my wrist. You know how they say turn, you know, against a person's thumb? And generally you can't? I don't know what. She had a different thumb than everybody else's. That lady had a grip on her. She'd get a hold of you. So we knew as kids, if mom was upset, stay back. Because if she grabs you, you're done. You won't get away. She'll lick you good. Yeah, she did. Hallelujah. But be strong. And see, people taught you. You got to train yourself in that. In Christianity, see, I had to learn, even when I got saved, I knew all this thing from my parents, but I had to learn, you had to be strong. You have to use that fortitude to stay. Keep yourself. You know, I'm going to be strong. I'm going to keep walking in this thing. I'm not going to move off of it. The Word says it, man. You know, times go on, you get wavering some, but no, I'm going to hold on. I'm getting back over here. I'm standing this thing. You got to learn to do that. It's what we're told to do. Then he tells us this. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And let me tell you, the devil got wiles. He's wild. He'll do all kind of things to you. No telling what he may do to come against you. One of the things they say, you know, the schemes of the devil, and the devil is a schemer. He'll do things. You know, he'll treat you nice to pull you out into an area where he wants to get you and do something to you. He'll do that. But it says, you put on the armor of God. It's for the purpose because of these things that the devil is doing. Hallelujah. And then he goes on to say this. And this is really important because he's dealing with us about how demons operate and what they operate through. He says this then, verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rule, the rulers of the darkness of this age and spiritual wickedness in the heavenly, wickedness in the heavenly places. We're not wrestling people. And this is what the Lord wanted me to bring across this morning, because this is what's going on in this age. People are wrestling people. We have the fight. This thing's it is. If you're following news media, you're following the people wrestling people. That's the way they make their money. I don't care if it's conservatives or whoever they are. This is how they make their money, getting people fighting people. This is how they make money, reporting on the people fighting people. And this becomes, if you see, the conservatives and the liberals. I'm sorry, I'm neither conservative nor liberal because I didn't even know what that stuff is anymore. I just know there's a bunch of them on both sides full of the devil. And the devil is using them, and this is one thing you have to do. Now, but this is the thing that we need to understand. Quit fighting people and understand you got to love people. God died, Jesus died for the ungodly. You know, it's like Brother Hagin, I remember him giving them the story, he said there was a guy, they were healing meeting. He was running the church that he was at, that they were doing a healing service. He was a pastor at the time. And he said, on Saturday nights they ran healing services, and he said back in Depression days, he said people didn't, didn't travel much and stuff like that. And he said, you'd have a church service. He said, loads of people would come to church. He said on a Saturday night, he said, the sinners would even all come out. He said, they'd stand outside the church building, couldn't even hold them. They'd stand outside and they'd listen to the message. And he said he was there and the Lord spoke to him. They were healing. And he said, there's a man outside there. He said, with a double hernia. He said, I want you to call him. And he said some specific things about the guy the Lord told him. So the guy would know who he was when he said it. And so he called this guy. And, this guy was outside, came in anyhow, but he said to this guy, he said, the Lord shows me, that you're a sinner. He said, you're right. He said, God showed me you have a double hernia. He said, right again. He said, the Lord told me if you come up here, I'm going to lay hands on you. And he said, that double hernia is going to disappear. The guy walked up, they disappeared. And he said there was quite a bit of astoundment among people in his congregation. And he said, even this one minister said to him, because he was ministering, he said, do you know who that man is? And he said, no. He said, I don't know who he is. He said, that's the meanest man in this town. He said, that guy, he said, any ugly thing you could think, he said, that man does. He said, people won't even shake hands with him around town and that stuff. He said, he is such a awful. He said, any evil thing, any drugs, selling stuff, doing any kind of things you can think of. This minister said, I don't understand. He said to Brother Hagin, why do you think the Lord healed him? And Brother Hagin said, well, Jesus died for the ungodly and he qualified. But I like that answer because of this. We deal with people and we're dealing with problems. And it's through people. People, they might be yielding to the devil, but you're dealing with it. Just dealing with them ain't what your problem is. We need to understand that we're dealing with demonic powers influencing people to do things. We're dealing with these things. People today, and this is one thing, because what happens is people do things to us and we ain't careful. We're not liking them. We're hating them. We ain't interested at all in their salvation. We have, you know, the things. There's one thing, I know this, and I know this for a fact. People many times don't pray sincerely for the president and them. I don't even think most ministers do, although they preach gospel about doing it. But they just run him down all the time. They have no compassion. That man's going to hell. He's lost forever. What he does that affects my life, messes my life up, ain't nothing to what he has coming. Ain't a thing. It ain't a drop in the bucket. My suffering ain't even comparable. My suffering is not comparable to that. Jesus died. Jesus suffered it all for us to be redeemed. He looked at every ugly thing, everything that man could do. God looked at it and said, I'll redeem them all. He saw you coming down the road. See, the church has lost its love. It don't remember Jesus. Oh, it thinks it does. But it don't remember the real Jesus. And you know, they used to have that show there, you know, where the real, you know, so-and-so stand up, you know. These people would sit there, three people in a panel, and they'd sit and answer questions to the panel that's sitting over here, and they decide, who is the real person that actually did this such and such? And they'd try to guess it. I tell you, I don't think Jesus would get picked often for being, they could have, who's the real Jesus? And people will pick the wrong one. The real Jesus died for the ungodly. That's who he died for. The ungodly need him. We were the ungodly. I want you to get this picture. Before you got born again, you might not think you were as ugly as that person treated you, but you're just as ugly. You were just as scarred. You were just as bad. You were on your way to hell just as much as they are. You were just as wicked and evil. See, we don't see ourselves or view ourselves like that. So I would tell the story of the woman came up to me and said, I really don't have much of a testimony. I was a pretty good person. I said, man, you were the worst. I said, I knew I was a sinner and you don't. You say you're a Christian and you still don't know. You still didn't know you were ugly. What did you get saved from? You had no reason to get saved. You were good. Mm-hmm. What did you get saved for? I got saved because I definitely needed saving. I need it. And we get that thing. As I want to keep that toward other people. I want to keep that toward the ungodly. You know, people didn't give up. You know, I know Christians. It's like when I got saved, I had a guy at work that walked as a Christian, and he was pretty annoying. Even after I got saved, he was annoying. But he came up to me and said, you're the last guy I ever thought would get saved. I said, well, I know you didn't pray for me. He didn't talk to me much after that. He just... So who's the last guy? The most wicked and evil, you know. And I often thought about that. I've learned this over time. Don't look at people of what they are, whether God will reach them. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you what, the hardest ones to reach are the people you think are good. Well, they would be as good. They usually have a self-righteousness. Mm-hmm. And the church helps to fortify their self-righteousness. They're good people. God died for the ungodly. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood. We're going to have to love these people. And I just want to get this. We're going to take communion. First of all, the Lord said to take communion because our first step in the right direction is remembering Jesus. To walk in fellowship. And this is what communion's about. I'm going to minister some other things and we're going to pray for people. Because you know, God wants to deliver people. God wants to set people free. Amen. God wants us set free from the fact of, you know, we don't, you know, many times we're trying to answer for ourselves and things, and sometimes it's just best let things alone, you know. Let people do their thing. Let them go ahead. Let them do their thing. The one thing we got to do is learn to walk right. See, God desires to bless us. And we want to keep Jesus in our memory. Keep his fact. He's on our side. You're not alone in the situation you're in. Don't go by your feelings. You might feel all alone. But see, you got to keep remembering Jesus. You got to remember this one. He owns you. He loves you, and He didn't buy you to make you a slave.
Amen.
He bought you to bless you. That's why He bought you.
Amen.
To bless your life. What He's called us to do and the way to walk, it sounds crazy. Why would you bless the God that does evil to you? Why would you do good to the God that's doing evil? What, it doesn't make any sense. Naturally, it doesn't make any sense. But you know what? I found out over the years, that stuff works.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff works. Over the years, I've learned these things. It's like we can stay over in that place, you know, fighting for yourself. And this is the society we're living in. It's the get-even society. It's get this, we're going to get that. I'm just going to tell you, the state America's in now, if Trump gets to be president, it wouldn't do any better. We'd have more fighting and stuff. I mean, what you think about it now, how crazy it is, and how stupid both sides of these are, the conservatives, that Biden and Trump on a ticket are still running about even. Now, as crazy as Biden is, half the nation still wants him. And the other half wants Trump just because they don't want Biden. They don't know what's what. But just, I mean, think about it. How crazy. What on earth did anybody get sane and say, man, we want definitely 4 more years of Biden. Well, I tell you what, at least in 2 years we're going to have the nation crawling on its stomach. I mean, the people who are voting for him will hurt the most. But this is what people want. And see, people are putting their vote. I suggest, and this is God, that we start voting for God. Hallelujah. Because I want to tell you what, we need God to move. We're dealing with things where demons are dominating and ruling things and with people. No matter how ugly or whatever they do, we're still going to have to walk in love. We can't leave this thing. We can't let it alone. We have to walk in love toward them. And see, this is one you can't, this is not something about your own strength and trying to deal with things. See, when you walk close and you remember Jesus, let that love that's on the inside that's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, let that thing work. Let that thing work on us in the inside. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what people are doing. You know, one of the things of the strength of the church, like in China, the church in China is very strong. It's a strong church. Gee, don't they have a great government? The church in America is 100% mostly government church. It's however the government goes, that controls what the church is going to do and believe. Oh, they got to straighten out so we can live in freedom. What if you never get to live in freedom again? What are you going to do about it? You're going to walk. You're going to live like a heathen. You're going to close the doors on your church. You're going to just. What are you going to do? American Christians don't know what to do because their government is where they look forward to God. There it is. Give us whatever we can do whatever it is we need. Hold it. No, it's not. You go to Russia. There's strong churches in Russia. See, we got to get in our thinking about Americans are all over the place on this stuff. We're not stopping. We're in a kingdom. We're not of this world, folks. We're called to something, and we have a God that's greater than all these governments.
Amen.
The book of Revelation, just saying this before we have communion. Book of Revelation says Jesus Christ is the King and the Lord over all the nations of the earth. Says He is. Now you might not be responding to Him, but I sure am.
Amen.
I'm going to respond to Him. I'm going to let Him lord over me. I'm going to let Him rule over me. We must do that. He's the King. He's the King and Lord over all the nations. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now when millennial reign comes, the nations are going to know it. It says He'll rule them with a rod of iron. But He will not have to rule me with a rod of iron. There's Christians that He has today try to rule with a rod of iron. They won't listen to Him. Let's set a course. You know, if nobody else wants to set it, let's just us set a course so God can move. I want God to move in our nation. were singing, it was saturate me with anointing. I do. I want anointing. I want anointing to do the will of God.
Amen.
But I'm going to have to start doing the will of God. And the will of God, we're going to let Jesus be Lord. Hallelujah. He loves you. And so let's you know, understand about people. I'll tell you what, have compassion on these people and what they're doing to you. You're the one that's all right. You know, if I'm not yielded to the devil and they are, man, I feel bad for them. I was involved in sorcery before I got born again. And this is one thing as I learned concerning dealing with demons. And we learned how to deal with demons. We knew how to get demons to manifest. We learned how to do this stuff. The devil will do this. He will always kill the people that serve him. Sometimes that's how Christians die young. They get serving the devil. They're a Christian. And he'll kill them. I don't want that to happen to me. You know, I want to go home because me and the Lord decided on something. I don't want to go to the Lord because the devil made a decision. See, we need to keep this compassion concerning people. And we do that by keeping ourselves focused in the right area. And that's what the Lord wanted me to ride you today, because He wants to, we're going to pray for people because there's people who are dealing with demonic problems. And mostly, we have to understand, we're trying to deal with stuff of the natural all the time and don't realize we're under the weight of satanic powers, or doing stuff, trying to do what the devil does. Jesus said, the thief only comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Anything in your life, killing, stealing, destroy, it ain't God. It's not God. You need to identify. The so-called faith people, they're over there like, you know, God has something to do with this, and I'm trying to get God to do something about it here for me. And I said, we're not trying to do that. We're fighting. An enemy's trying to keep you from having what God wants you to have. But you got to get your thinking straight about your Father. Your Father loves you. Hallelujah. He wants the best for you. He teaches us through the Word what to do. If we act on the Word, He is obligated to fulfill it. If He doesn't, He's a liar, and I wouldn't serve Him for 10 minutes. He'll keep His Word. All He has to go over. And I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. They wouldn't talk about, the Bible talk about warfare and talk about, you know, wrestling. If it's all this just, oh, I'm just believing God, we're tiptoeing through the tulips. Life ain't like that. Have you noticed? That's not life. You're warring. Most of the time, sad to say, I had a lot of people fights. I messed up. You know, you got into the people fight. Nothing ever got any better. See, well, I'm going to give you a piece of my mind. You know, you do that, you know. After a while, you ran out of mind. You done gave it all away. And they're laughing at you. Because they don't care what you think. Oh, well, I really told them off. Like, they walked away and went, yeah. And the next time they run into you, they treat you the same way. hallelujah. I'll tell you what, God has the way to keep you sane. And today you need sanity, because I tell you what, insanity is on the rise.
Amen. Preach.
But we can't go with it. We got to turn around and say it's there. But it don't matter. I ain't afraid of their insanity. Hallelujah. My God's bigger than their insanity. Hallelujah. My God's greater than their insanity. Hallelujah. I'm going to stay sane no matter how many get insane. It don't matter. I'll tell you, they might get a big crowd, but my God is always bigger than their crowd. That's right. My God's bigger than the crowd. Hallelujah. Your God's bigger than the crowd. Hallelujah. One will put 1,000 to flight, 2 10,000. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It don't matter. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're gonna take communion. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're gonna draw near to God this morning. Glory to God.
Blessing, honor, glory, power.
Paul said, Jesus said concerning this, he said he gave thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat this, is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Jesus' body was broken so yours don't have to. He said, remember this. This is what I do for you. Hallelujah. Father, I'm just so thankful for Jesus. And Lord God, we just set Him in the forefront and we're so thankful we can. Hallelujah. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord God, that your Son Jesus Christ did for us what we could have never done for ourselves. Lord, we were under a curse of every evil and wicked thing, but our blessed Jesus stepped in and gave His body for our body. So, Lord God, we don't have to live in the curse. I just want to thank you for the blessing today, the blessing on our lives. And as we take this today, we're remembering, Lord God, that we're the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're the ones, Lord God, that you looked into down through time. Hallelujah. And how fortunate we are. We're in the living in the days of redemption. Hallelujah. Not looking forward to it, but we have it. And we want to say thank you. Hallelujah. For redeeming us. In Jesus' name, take it and eat. Said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Hallelujah. This covenant he made. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. See, drinking this, the new covenant's ours, man. Hallelujah. What it says is ours. All the things that it tells us we are in Christ Jesus in this covenant, it's all ours. Hallelujah. We're drinking this as a representation of his blood that redeemed us and bought you. Hallelujah. And this is your inheritance. This covenant is your inheritance. Hallelujah. You know, people think, well, heaven's your inheritance. Heaven's where we're going to, but all of it's called this covenant. We're the blessed in this covenant. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, that you bought us. And we are glad to be bought. Hallelujah. Lord God, we're so glad to be in your kingdom. We're so glad, Lord God, that we're at one with this covenant that was made through the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, for all the blessing of this covenant that came to us, not by any work that we've done or any wonderful thing that we've accomplished, but totally because of what our wonderful Master Jesus did for us. And Lord God, it's an honor to serve you in this covenant. It's an honor to walk with you in this covenant. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for calling us out of darkness and bringing us into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord God, that the power of this blood revolutionized our lives and changed us. Hallelujah. Lord God, took us from curse to blessing. Took us, Lord God, from darkness and evil and wickedness, and made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for buying us. Take it and drink. I want to read to you here. We're going to pray for people, but I want you to see something because we pray for you. I want you to get thought in your mind because of dealing. We're dealing with demonic powers. You know, the devil's not, you're a Christian. The devil's not in your heart. What the devil, his main goal is to keep you from hearing your heart, to keep you from coming into contact. See, God's on the inside of you in your spirit. God and your spirit are united together. And He doesn't want you hearing. He doesn't want you hearing. That's the whole thing. He wants to keep you over here. What He wants you to hear is whatever's going on in the flesh around you and whatever's happening. And then scriptures in 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, says this. It says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." How does the flesh war? Get even, get whatever, flesh. The flesh tries to figure itself out. You know, you ever watch people in the flesh, even, you know, we talk about, you know, healing and divine healing. Many times people, they're operating and trying to get God's healing, but they're doing it, trying to do it through the flesh. They're trying to do it. They're not operating out of the Spirit. What happens? See, Satan is going to torment your mind. One of the things he's going to tell you, this is where the faith and patience come, because now this is going to be hard. This is what's hard on your flesh. This is why things don't work, because your flesh wants instantaneous gratification. If you have a pain in your body, you want instantaneously, you go away right now. Now, I've had that kind of things on a number of occasions. I've had instantaneous healing. And I've had numerous times it didn't work that way. But I had healing come. And when it doesn't come instantaneously, your flesh will notify you quickly. And spirits will notify you. Well, I found out there's one thing the devil will do too. Does the people all the time and they fall for it. Well, see, it isn't working. You must not be in faith. If you were in faith, this thing would be working. See, it isn't trying to, and that stuff starts coming to you right away. Immediately to move you away from faith. Immediately. And people fall for it every time. People fall for it every time. Didn't change right away, so, you know, must be something. Something's wrong here. Well, then you come up. Then you'll join the club of, God wants me sick for a reason. God wants me. There's a reason. See, the devil wants you sick for a reason. He can keep you over in that place. He'll get you in disobedience so he can put something on you and then turn around and blame you for it. And tell you, God's mad at you. Oh, yeah. And don't worry, you can get listen to preachers and they'll tell it to you, too. They'll tell you God wants you sick for a reason. They do that. But here it is. It tells you, war in the flesh. He says, what? The weapons of our warfare, said, are not carnal, or they're not fleshly. That's the word for flesh there. It should have just translated fleshly. He said, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are these strongholds? What are they? Well, it tells you, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There's the war. That's the war you're going to fight. People come against you. They say things about you. They do things to you. This is the war you fight. Your mind wants to go over and deal with it in the carnal section. Don't you think that that ever going to stop? It's what you do. You either can flow with that or you can stop and say, I'm not going to respond to that. Like I was listening to a minister here not long ago. He's talking about people get their hurt. That so-and-so hurt my feelings. He said, they couldn't have hurt your feelings. You had to let it happen. You didn't have to let them hurt your feelings. You chose to let them hurt your feelings. You chose. And then, you know, we all have to say, ouch, you know, because we were, you know. Well, they made me mad. I didn't have to get mad. I chose to. I chose to let them do that. We've done that already, haven't we? We chose. See, taking the thoughts into captivity, and this is where the battle is. The devil wants to take the things of the flesh that operate in opposition against God's stuff, and he wants to throw that at you to get you to respond in that manner and not listen to the side over here say, hold it, hold it, hold it. I'm not going to think that way. Now, I'm going to check. None of you ever thought about, you see something of these politicians, crazy people doing this, and you think, boy, somebody ought to shoot them. Somebody ought to kill them. Now, none of you ever thought anything like it. None of you. You're all so pure and holy. Say, so, yeah, something ought to happen to that. You know, you have your ideas of things and saying things of what you think you ought to do. Those thoughts come. Shall I tell you something? Don't play games on entertaining that kind of thinking. There is nobody, no one out here off the spur of the moment did some crazy thing. All of them thought about doing crazy things a long time. They don't off the spur of the moment. People think about these things and think about it. And all of a sudden somebody does something that just sets them off. And these people say, well, I never thought they'd do that. Hey, they were already planning it in their mind over time, thinking thoughts, not taking thoughts into captivity, letting those thoughts run, letting them things do, thinking over time, you know, wanting something bad to happen to somebody. All this, they do this to me and they do that. People run over it and think it over time. Back when COVID and the things first happened, we went from the presidential election, it was a mess, the last one, that going into that, and into the COVID thing. I was so shocked to hear what ministers were saying and doing. I thought, what happened to the Church of Jesus Christ? I mean, they're wanting to go to war, they're wanting to shoot people, they're wanting ministers. You know? Yeah, well, they ain't taking my weapons, you know, and some guy, you know, this one minister said this, you know, he said, I think something like his driveway is like, you know, it's like, you know, 100 yards long or something like that. And he said, I got it zeroed in down to the end. He said, they ain't coming for me. I almost said to him and kept my mouth shut, they ain't coming to your house. They'll just fire a rocket and you and your whole family will die. I said, I've been in war. And I said, you poor guys don't have no clue. It's talking stupid. You don't know what a war is like. They just kill people. And these guys out here, you know, if you want to go to war and you think we ought to rise up, you better think twice. Because I tell you, most of the people that are saying it, they're the last ones that are going to want to be in it. They'll get other people involved in it and they'll have to do the dying for them while they run off somewhere playing Christian. I was around war. War ain't a pretty thing. You know, I fought wars in somebody else's land. I tell you, do you want a war in your land? You want to see your loved ones die? People are not. I was fought in land and people were seeing that. We talk this nonsense. Don't think 2 minutes about it. Anything you want to do is pray and get out of a war. We have all these people and no, yeah, we need to go over to this country and do this or that. The first thing you should do is send Congress. That should be the first people to go. They ought to be the first ones that are sent. It'll change a whole lot of ideas. You know, I was a sinner in Vietnam and had more sense than a lot of Christians do today. Because I felt sorry for the Vietnamese people. All they ever did. I was training Vietnamese in operating and how to repair electronics and stuff. Very smart people. A lot smarter than Americans were. They'd pick up electronics. That snap. The easiest people to teach. But I thought about him. One guy, there was Sergeant Dai. Sergeant Dai was actually a sergeant major in the French army when they were there. So he had been through the French and then he was an American. All their life, that's all they knew was war. Somebody else coming there, laying and fighting. Americans play this run hero stuff, run here, they run it. I tell you, I'm tired of this stuff. We're doing it in other people's lands and we're doing in stuff and things and not thinking twice about what we're doing. It's just like with them. The Vietnamese people just got tired of it. They were tired of this thing. All they knew was war. I mean, I thought about the kid. You get these guys that are in the armies in their 20s. They grew up in a war, and it's still going on, and they're in it. Now they're going in the army. This war is going on. And, you know, the Americans were going to be the savior. And what we did, we got them into a real mess and then left them. Good old America. Oh, we need God. We need God. You know, because He's the only one with wisdom. You know, Jesus said if you're going to go out here and start a war, you make sure you can lick them or, you know, go make peace. Jesus had a lot more sense than America's had. We've used freedom to do stupid. You know, sometimes it comes to a thing you might have to fight, but boy, I'll tell you, don't choose it unless you have to. See, we need to think about these things, and we're not, you know, we don't think about them, and we need as people, this is one of the things is coming back to the wisdom of God again. We're dealing with demonic powers and things doing stuff. We're getting over here in our minds. We're responding to bad things by the flesh, and we're making decisions by that. This is where you have to learn not to do that. Inside of you is wisdom. I'm just going to tell every one of you today has wisdom in you that you don't even know in your mind. You don't even know your spirit knows it, and your spirit knows it. Your spirit can give you things your mind ain't even comprehend or ever thought of it, and your spirit already knows it. Why? It's in there with the Holy Ghost. It knows things. Your spirit touches into the things in the realm of the spirit, the eternal realm. It touches into it, picks things up. But your mind don't know. And so we make dumb decisions. We've all done it. Not enlightened by what's on the inside. What's inside of you? I mean, there's a genius living in you, the Holy Ghost. There's a genius. Knows everything. Not one thing you don't know. Living inside of you. And your spirit's in there fellowship with. God, what's it going on? Hallelujah. But see, we want that what's on the inside to dine on us, our minds. So we don't want to make dumb decisions. We don't do dumb things. Hallelujah. We've all made dumb decisions. But let's come over in the line of the Word. Now, one of the things that the Lord, you know, dealt with me as praying was I was praying the other night. And I wanted to go back over to that because, especially in certain prayers, one of the Ephesians prayer in the 3rd chapter, when I was praying and praying for individuals, one of the things as I was praying this prayer for them, especially we're dealing with saints. This is prayers not for the sinner, this is prayers for the saints. In the 3rd chapter, Paul was praying this. Now in the 1st chapter is a very good prayer. We've talked about that at times and teaching and that stuff concerning you praying that. Also in this prayer, but I want you to look here is concerning Paul praying for Christians in the 3rd chapter, and we want to do this, where he said in the 14th verse, he said, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through your spirit in the inner man." Now, I want to say this because here he's praying for Christians that God would do something for them, that God would strengthen them with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Would strengthen them. See, you need strength, and here's one of the things. We have specifically Scripture telling us what to ask for. Lots of times when people are praying, and the majority of the time when Christians talk about they need strength, they're talking about the physical. I'm just going to say this to you. Generally, most of the time, God ain't going to do that for you. We are supposed to live out of the strength of the inner man. The same Spirit raised Jesus from the dead quickens or makes alive your mortal body. Amen. The reason we have the problems and do with our body is because we're not listening to our spirit on the inside. So what we're doing is saying, God, do something to my outer man because I ain't. I found this out. Is the strength that I need is spiritual strength. Because when I have spiritual strength, this means this. The inner man gets stronger because I don't need the outer man stronger. He's already noisy enough. He's already noisy enough. I need this guy stronger on the inside. Strengthened with might by His Spirit God's might by His Spirit in the inner man, in your inner man. This is what we need. We're dealing with spiritual problems. They need to be dealt with spiritual force.
Amen.
Now, you know what the spiritual force is about? Is this. Because here's a real battle. That Christ may dwell in my heart through faith. Now listen to this. This is Christians. So Christ can dwell in my heart through faith. I need strength by God so I can live by faith. Well, I thought if you just listen to the Word all the time, that's good. Listen to the Word. But you need strength for this purpose. Now listen to what He said, Christ. He said, through faith, why? That you can be rooted and grounded in love. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. To know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of Him. Your greatest battle is love. That's your greatest battle. If anything, your flesh will lead you, and the devil is to get you to not walk in love. That's what he's going to do. You need the strength of love. The strength of love, I tell you, you can do it, walk in any. If you walk in love, ain't nothing to hold you back. There ain't nothing to stop you. You walk in love, I'm going to tell you what, you can get healed as quick as you can get healed. Easiest thing. Easiest thing to get walking in love, staying in the area of love. Why? Because there's all kinds of things combating, trying to get your attention over to this, attention over to that. You know, you might have legitimate problems. But you know what? Your focus needs to be concerning love, not your legitimate problem. It becomes our focus on things. The things going on is walking over the areas of love. Strength so you can stay in that area. Because that is the place where He tells us this. That's the place where it says, He said, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Woo! Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Well, we need that. And see, this is not criticizing anybody. What we're doing is showing you. See, we start to move in line with this. Let's move in line with this thing. God will bless us. God, we move in line with it. Hallelujah. God will bless us. And this is what it is. We're putting up with battles and they get weary and they get wearing on us. Hallelujah. This is where you enter into that place of rest, where you place that place. Peace that passes all understanding, guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. You know why? Because you get worn down in your mind. It's hard to fight a battle. You get worn down in your thought. You get worn down in that side. I've been there. I've been there where that thing is, you just get worn down in thoughts, and after a while, you say, man, what am I doing, man? You find yourself walking along and you got stoop-shouldered and everything else and you're walking. I see people all the time. They look like they're beat up. They're walking like they're beat up. They're living like they're beat up. They haven't been in a physical battle, but I'm going to tell you, a mental battle can wear you out and kill you as quick as a physical one can. And that's what the devil is. He wants to wear you out. God wants to strengthen you. This prayer was given. Paul's praying for this church, for them to be strengthened with might. Why? So they can overcome, because they're dealing with the same stuff that we're dealing with. There's things coming against them. They want them to quit in love and start acting out in the flesh toward people and doing stuff and start walking that area. You know, if anybody, and I sit and read Paul amazes me at the fact of anything amazes me in his ministry, you know, that he just didn't quit after, you know, get so many beatings and so many stuff go on and all this stuff. But he maintains, what got him through that? He's walking in love. Paul didn't look at the people. You know, let me just tell you this about Paul. Paul's very interesting. You know, we talk about Paul and Silas and their beating and that stuff and them singing and all that. So, you know, the next day after all that happened, the earthquake and the guy, the jailer, got saved. They come down to release Paul. And Paul comes down and says, nope, I ain't. They said, let him go. He said, no, I ain't. They have to come down here. So they came down. And he told him, he said, you know, you guys beat a guy who's a Roman citizen. Paul didn't throw that out ahead. Paul could have thrown that thing out ahead. God had a plan, and Paul was listening to God's plan. He didn't play his ace. He only played his ace after the whole thing, and he got beat.
That's right. Amen.
I'm convinced of this. The church knows little about God. We ain't as bright about this thing. But we know this. He desires, He has a plan for success and to bless you. There's one thing as I can say, Paul blessed Ed. I'm so glad he followed God and walked with God, because I got a blessing through his writings. Hallelujah. Blessed my life because he followed God. He walked in love whether nobody else did or not. He followed. I can't turn around and say, well, I've had things happen to me like him. No, I've had similar but not even close stuff that he had. But he walked in love. And what I want to do is pray today, because there are people here, you're dealing with demonic stuff, and it's been against you and been working against you, and we're going to pray for you. And there's specifically, when I was praying, and this is not any kind of thing, because anybody can come to be prayed for. I just want to let you know that. Anybody can come to be prayed for. I want you to get that. But specifically, one thing is I want to pray for Mike. I want Mike to come, because Mike and Eileen have been dealing with a demonic battle. This is a demonic fight. And there's things that just got to be dealt with in the spirit that are going to have to. And I want to come, I want to pray, because he can stand for Eileen too, because we're going to pray, and I'm going to have him come. Also, I know you've been under pressure. You know, one of the things that the devil wants to do, because you've gotten your life setting it back on track. And anything the devil wants to do is run you off. He wants to get you pushed away from it. He wants you to, no, I don't come, because things get worse when you become a Christian. I'll tell you what, you know. Especially, and this happens lots of times when people get in their life straightened around. Come on up, Mike. And I want to pray for you too. But anybody else, if you've been under a thing of weight where you just, things have been coming against you and stuff and things, and you just need help, we're going to pray for you today. I ain't going to raise any magic wand or something in, ain't in the Word. We're going to do, one of the things is the anointing in the church, because I'm going to have everybody come, because we're going to pray for them, the church. The church is going to pray for them. Hallelujah. James wrote and said, talked about praying for one another that we might be healed. That word there, the use for healed, isn't the normal word that's used for healed. One of the things it deals with is to make whole. Is the idea is this is people need to be made whole. There's people who mentally they've been under a weight in their minds, and you know, it gets a weight on your mind, don't it? Huge weight on your mind. It gets a thing, and it's there, and. I don't know if any of you ever have, you know, so I know it's times of going through things in my Christian walk where, man, you hate to go to bed and try to close your eyes. Because it'd be right there in your face. It was right there, you know. And you're like, oh, man. See, so I'm going to stay up as long as I can till I fall asleep. You know, one of those. You ever been there? But we're going to pray for them today in the body of Christ, because, you know, this is just an act of love. This is the body. The scripture says, if one part hurts, we all hurt. Amen. Mm-hmm. It affects the whole body. A lot of people don't realize it. And we have this me, Jesus, me and Jesus thing. I'm sorry, no, it's the body and Jesus. It's the whole body. And so, but if anybody else wants to join, don't feel ashamed of it. If you're in a battle or something and you're dealing with things, don't be afraid. My God. Hallelujah. Say, God wants to bless you. I want to get back. Somebody might think it's weird. No, I want to be in the front row when the blessing comes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. People are going through things. Wait. And I know there's people here, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. We're dealing, people are around are under such oppression of the devil, from the sinner to the saint. All kinds of stuff going on. All kinds of things happening to people. And this weight just keeps, you know, like Wanda and I said, probably in the last year or so, we've had more things happen and go on in this past year. You know, it's just like stuff happened after happened. Dear Lord. It's like my words. You get over there. But see, you get thinking. If you don't watch it in your mind, it is easy to get over there. Wonder what God's trying to tell me. He ain't trying to tell me a thing. He's already told me. The devil's trying to tell me something. He's trying to get me and my focus over off of walking in what's right.
Amen.
There's a devil. Hallelujah. Can you mind? What it was for the Christians living in Rome in their day and that stuff, you know, living in their time and that stuff. I bet there was some weight, wasn't there, on them. Stuff is on them and that stuff going on. It ain't nothing. You're weird. And Jesus said, in the world, there's tribulation. There's trouble. Have you noticed?
Amen.
Sometimes we wish it was a whole lot less, but sometimes we're right in the middle of it.
Amen.
And I'm going to say this to ministering to you. You know, sometimes we're in these situations. But I want you to look at it from this standpoint. I found this out. You know, Kenneth Hagin made, I remember hearing him first say about it. It was a saying, it sounded cool, you know. But he said, you know, great faith comes through great trials.
Amen.
And I learn it over time. There's something about learning to go through really hard situations does something in helping you and your character.
Amen. Preach.
There's things about it can change you. Also, I found this, going through bed, you know, is one thing is, I remember even as a sinner, I had a virus one time settled in my spinal column. And my spinal column swelled. And, you know, I had so much pain, all I wanted to do was die. And they really couldn't, they gave me some pain medication, but it didn't do a whole lot. They couldn't do too much for it. And I always thought with people, I was having a compassion, people in a lot of pain. Because what people go through. And sometimes, you know, those things, we don't know. It's like, if you never went through Paul, what Paul went through, you can sit and read it and look at it and say, yeah, that there's something in Paul. But you really don't have an idea what it is. And sometimes there's trouble that you go through can be the thing. You know, using the situation. And I'm telling you, it's not easy. I'm not telling you, oh, this is fun and you're just going to fly through things. And I found over time that a lot of times, if it works, sometimes you got to struggle through things and then you get the victory. Hallelujah. And then you got the victory. It's glory. And you're glad you stood. You have a chance. I'm going to tell you, you have an opportunity to just leave, but I want to tell you this. Don't go off to do something else until you know God told you to. Don't do that.
Amen.
Don't let the situation be your voice. Don't let the situation, because it always will. The situation will always want to be your voice. I know from experience, you know. Because you know what? You get tired of going through things over. You get tired. You get weary. Don't you? You get tired and weary?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, you got a God in you that ain't weary. And He hasn't quit on you. He hasn't done this stuff. He isn't doing that. He's not working against you.
Amen.
It's the devil's working against you.
Amen.
The devil's trying to get you to succumb to his way and to his thinking. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to move you away from it. He wants you to get as far away of the blessing you can. He wants you getting you in a position where God can't bless you. He wants you to more say, well, you know, this stuff ain't working. This God thing don't work. And I'm gonna go do something else. I've watched people do that over time. But you know, I was praying. I'm going to tell you, God has great compassion for the situations you're in.
Amen.
Great compassion.
Amen.
Great compassion. He's not against you. What He wants you to do, hallelujah, get confident about Him helping you.
Amen.
If God be for you, who can be against you?
No one.
People can do what they want. They can say what they want and they do what they want. But I'm going to tell you, you belong to God.
Amen.
You belong to God. You belong. He paid for you.
Amen.
You're valuable to Him. You're precious to Him. See, we get this in your thought. Hallelujah to Him. I don't care if you messed up. He ain't throwing you under the bus. Hallelujah. There's redemption for all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Your God is great. Yes, Lord, I'll read that. Let me read you something from Isaiah. Glory to God. I'll do that. Because I want you to leave this place today with strength in you, the ability, but knowing it's you, specifically knowing God's working in you. Hallelujah. That God's helping you. That He hasn't quit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me find this Isaiah for you. All right. Isaiah, this is 40. Verse 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
That's your God. Hallelujah. He won't lie. He won't lie. He will do it. He will do it for you. Hallelujah. Don't think it odd that something happened. Stuff's happening to all kinds of people out here. A lot of Christians, you know, one thing is I learned about the faith people. They learn how to fake it. They learn how to act like they're having faith when they don't. You know, they won't try to get help. They won't try. No, not me. They'll think I'm weak. Well, you are. You need God's strength. Hallelujah. I need something beyond me. I want everybody to come up and join. Lay hands, because we're going to pray for these. And you're the body. We can pray. You know, I'll pray generally, but you folks can pray. And lay your hands on these ones here today. They need help. Hallelujah. And there's one thing as I found out about helping. You help others, it'll get you help. Hallelujah. It's helpful to you. Hallelujah. And we're praying and we're agreeing with Mike for Eileen too. Hallelujah. For Eileen, because she needs strength. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I mean, we want to walk in the light of this, of the scriptures. And we're going to do this from Ephesians. Hallelujah. And the scriptures there, we're going to pray. And I'm going to pray this prayer. That He grant to you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might in your inner man. So that Christ dwells in your heart by faith and you're rooted and grounded in love. And you're able to comprehend with all the saints. Father, I want to thank you that we're coming right now in the name of Jesus. These are your children. You bought them and paid for it. If anybody loves these ones, you love them dearly. Lord God, you see what they're going through. You see the torment. You see what the devil's done. And the first thing I want to thank you, Lord God, is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I do according to what the scripture says that we cast out devils in the name of Jesus. And devil, I bind you in your operations against God's children right now, these ones in the name of Jesus. I command you to cease and desist in your operations against them in the name of Jesus. Whether it's people or whatever's going on, Lord God, we bind that devil operating through individuals and command him to stop in the name of Jesus and cease in their actions in the name of Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, Father, for bringing relief to them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that you're working in them and you're going to work mightily. Father, I thank you right now, according to your word, I thank you right now that you're strengthening them with might by your spirit in their inner man. They're strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, Lord God. I thank you for strengthening them, Lord God. Lord God, they can comprehend the love of God which surpasses all understanding. They're being filled with all the fullness of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, these situations are turning around. They're being made strong in the name of Jesus. Lord God, they have a fortitude within themselves they didn't have before. They have a strength, Lord God, that they didn't have. It's a heavenly strength. Something working in them more mighty. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Working in strength and strengthened with might by the inner man in the name of Jesus. Strong in the Lord. Hallelujah. Strength full of the power of God in the name of Jesus. Love dominating and ruling. Love, God. Having compassion, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Love working mightily, mightily in them and through them in the name of Jesus. They understand the, Lord God, the height and the depth and the length and the breadth of the love of God. I thank you, Lord God. Lord, so they have to know how much you love them. How much you love them, and you sure do love them, Lord God. You love them. Hallelujah. And you're helping them. And Lord God, you're going to use them to help others. Lose them and they'll help others in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that they will bless. And I thank you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you these situations are turning, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. There's victory. There's victory, Lord God, in these things in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Love prevails in the name of Jesus Christ. Love will prevail in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Do you have anything you want to pray or say? Hallelujah. You can. Is this Mike, have something to pray?
Blessed be the Lord God, who are away in Zion as foundations, but a tribestone, a precious cornerstone. And I think God, we're in Him. We're in that stone which the people rejected, but the builders rejected, but He has become the chief.
Yes. Amen. Thank you.
So he that believeth shall not taste. Well, we don't have to make haste. We just stand in faith and operate.
Amen. Amen.
And also it says in what you read there in the Amplified, it says, increasing strength causes it to multiply, making it
hallelujah.
Hallelujah, making it multiply. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. You know, has God put it in somebody else's heart, something, hallelujah, to minister to them, to say to them? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, the word's always good to give. Hallelujah. God has said so many good things. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I'm just so thankful, Lord God, of your love and compassion for these ones in the name of Jesus. Lord God, that your great desire to bless their lives and to help them, Lord God. And I thank you for, Lord God, that they never have to feel like they're alone.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord God, that the great God of heaven loves them. I thank you they're surrounded, Lord God, by your angels. Amen. Lord God, they're being protected in the name Amen. Of Jesus Christ. That you're looking over them. And you're looking over their loved ones. You're looking over them, Lord God. Lord, the things that Lord God, affect them, affect you. And I thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Because that's the way love works. So we thank you and praise you for that today, Lord God. Lord, thank you for blessing them today. Lord God, thank you that we can stand around them. And Lord God, I'm so grateful that we can pray for them to help them, Lord God.
Amen.
Lord God, to stand with them with our faith. Lord, they must succeed because their success is our success.
Amen.
We want them to go over because their going over makes us go over.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we desire greatly that they achieve your best. Hallelujah. And be blessed. We Amen. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, thank you, everybody. See, when the church gets together, you get that corporate anointing working.
Amen.
God's working. Hallelujah today. I tell you, we love you. Don't think that you're alone in your stuff that you're going on with it. You're just weird or something, or you're messed up. You ain't messed up. You're living in a messed up world. I mean, Paul could have sort of quit and thought that he was living in a messed up world, but he kept going on. There's nothing wrong. What we're doing is just contrary to everything that's going on today.
Amen. Preach.
It's just amplified more today. You know, we're like, you know, this sore thumb. You know, you get a sore thumb and, you know, you move your hand, all thing you want to do and pick it up. And we're the sore thumb in the world because we're running contrary to everything the rest of the hand's doing. And we're kind of, and they don't like it.
Amen.
And the devil don't like it. Hallelujah. But God loves you. Amen. No matter what the devil does. He ain't that big.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Lord bless you. Hallelujah. And have yourself a glorious week.
Amen.
Amen.